Let's read together Psalm 24. In this psalm of praise, the return of the Lord to this earth in victory is anticipated. He is the sovereign Lord over all creation, and He is the King of glory. Psalm 24, beginning with verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face, Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Let's begin our study of this psalm, Psalm 24, with some background notes. We don't know the exact occasion of this psalm, but many have suggested that David wrote it at the time when he had the Ark of the Covenant brought up to Jerusalem from the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Remember, the Ark had been separated from its rightful place in the tabernacle for 20 years, ever since it had been captured by the Philistines during the reign of King Saul. Now David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem, where it would be eventually placed in the temple. I'm reading 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was when those bearing the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. So David may have written Psalm 24 on this occasion, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the open gates of Jerusalem. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant indicated God's presence in the midst of His people, and therefore it pictures Christ in the midst of His people. So Psalm 24, then, anticipates and looks forward to the coming of the Lord to this earth in victory and His triumphal entrance into Jerusalem, where He will reign as the King of glory. This is not the first coming of Christ, when He was rejected as King, but His second coming, when He will literally reign as King from Jerusalem. The psalm starts out in verses 1 and 2 with an emphatic statement about the Lord's sovereignty over all the earth and its inhabitants. Verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." God is the owner and creator of this earth and all it contains. He calls the shots as to who owns what on this planet earth. For example, God gave a certain portion of the Middle East to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the Jewish people do have a biblical right to that land. So from God's perspective, the Jews are not occupiers of someone else's land. No, God gave it to the Jewish people as a homeland. Now, this does not give the secular state of Israel the right to use unbiblical means to regain that land. But they do have the divine right to the land, because Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." Verse 2 of Psalm 24 looks back to the time of creation, especially the third day of creation week, when God formed the earth's continents in the midst of the water covering the earth. Verse 2, "For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Psalm 24. Doctrinal point number one, only the clean and the pure are qualified to enter the Lord's holy place in righteousness. Only the clean and the pure are qualified to enter the Lord's holy place in righteousness. Verses 3 through 6, once again. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Selah. In view of the truth that God is the creator and owner of this earth and all it contains, then who is qualified to enter the Lord's house of worship? Answer, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. In the context of the Old Testament, this was the person who was bringing the required sacrifices under the law and seeking to live a righteous life. In the context of the New Testament, this is the person who has come to Christ for salvation and is living a godly life. These believers have been declared righteous in God's sight and are blessed of the Lord. Verse 5, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. These folks walk with the Lord and seek to have fellowship with him. Verse 6, this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Now let me ask you, are you part of this company of believers? Praise the Lord, God does the work of making us clean and pure. We can't do it ourselves. We must come to Christ for salvation and let the Lord have the first place in our lives. Only the clean and the pure are qualified to enter the Lord's holy place in righteousness. Doctrinal point number two, only the King of Glory is qualified to enter the gates of Jerusalem in victory. Only the King of Glory is qualified to enter the gates of Jerusalem in victory. Verses 7 through 10, once again. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Selah. Psalms 22, 23, and 24 go together as a trilogy and bring out three aspects of our Lord as the shepherd of the sheep as taught in the New Testament. The Lord is the good shepherd. John 10, verse 11. The Lord is the great shepherd. Hebrews 13, verse 20, and the Lord is the chief shepherd, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Let's read those verses. The Lord is the good shepherd, John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, John 10, verse 11. The Lord is the great shepherd, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. And the Lord is the chief shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. So as the shepherd of the sheep, our Lord is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. In Psalm 22, we see the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. In Psalm 23, we see the great shepherd who tenderly cares for his sheep. And here in Psalm 24, we see the chief shepherd who comes as the King of Glory to reward his sheep. Here in verses 7 through 10, Psalm 24 looks prophetically to the return of the ascended Lord of glory to this earth as the King of Glory, where he will establish his earthly kingdom with his throne in Jerusalem. Let's read those verses once again. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. In these verses, the gates of Jerusalem are pictured as having their heads down, but they are lifted up as the gates are open and the Lord enters in triumphal victory. Remember, when the Lord returns, the first order of business will be conquering and judging those who have been against his people. That is, the godly remnant of Jews and the saints of the tribulation period. Then, after total victory and judgment over the wicked, the Lord will enter Jerusalem in triumphal victory. So in this context, the righteous of verses 4 through 6 with clean hands and pure hearts, who are qualified to ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place, would be the godly remnant of restored Israel, who will be an essential part of the Lord's earthly kingdom when he returns. This is why in verse 6, the generation of those who seek the Lord are referred to as the generation of Jacob. This is not the church today, but restored Israel of the future. Verse 6, once again, this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. The repetition of verses 7 and 8 in verses 9 and 10 serves to emphasize the glory of the king and his qualifications to enter the gates of Jerusalem. He is the Lord, who is strong and mighty and victorious over all the enemies of God. He is the Lord of hosts, who has returned in righteous victory. Only the King of glory is qualified to enter the gates of Jerusalem in victory. Now, what about practical application? Have you opened the gates of your heart to the King? Have you opened the gates of your heart to the King? We've seen in this psalm that the Lord Jesus is now ascended as the Lord of glory, and he is coming back to this earth as the King of glory. He is the Lord of creation. He is the sovereign God of the universe. He is the owner of everything. The gates of Jerusalem will be opened as the Lord ascends his earthly throne, and every knee will bow to him as sovereign Lord, as we read in Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. In view of these great truths, it is important that everyone open the gates of their hearts to the Lord before it is too late. So let me ask you, have you opened the gates of your heart to the King? It's your choice, and it's not automatic. You must make a conscious choice and open the gates of your life to the Lord. Have you opened the gates of your heart to the King?